a lot of emotional stuff in it. And that's why body awareness. So like if I'm really anxious about something that's going to happen, like I'm unemployed and I have a job interview or something, and I'm really worried about that, then that anxiety is going to produce a lot of thought. But I can notice that. That's when you really it's helpful to notice the mood of the mind. So you have like full body awareness, and then the anxiety creates a lot of tension in the body, and then you go to the body. It feels this way. And then you wait, and then that tension has a chance to sort of come out of you. That's very interesting how the body, you know, the body's more intelligent than the mind. Or at least it doesn't lie. Whereas the thinking mind is, what, 50% lying? You know, the thinking mind can really, like doubt. It's a kind of, the kind of idea that if I get enough answers to my questions, I'll be beyond questions. It doesn't work that way. So just to see thought as an object. So with doubt, you can use like in the Chinese tradition, they have the Hua To, the Who am I? It's interesting how the Korean, the Japanese and the Chinese traditions developed doubt as a way of practice. Not so much in Theravada. So they would have or also Ramana Maharshi in the Advaita tradition, where they'd use questions like, who's thinking? So if you try to answer that with another thought, you're going to lose the plot. So you start to use thought to look at doubt. And, I'm obsessing with thought too much. I really have a thought problem, which is more thinking. You throw up a question, who's thinking? Now, if you're trying to find an answer, you're finished. But if you just use that question to bring you to no thought, who's thinking? It's like the observer observing the observer. And you come to silence. Who's thinking? But if you go to who's thinking, well, I'm thinking. What do you think I'm thinking? And then who's that? And it's an endless kind of argument. So you actually make the mind doubtful. But you don't look for an answer. Who asked that question? And then the mind's silent. Ajahn Sumedha used that a lot. He suggested that a lot. Zen koans. Ramana Maharshi used that a lot. If you've read Ramana Maharshi's enlightenment experience, 17 years old, hadn't really... His family thought he was pretty ordinary from reports afterwards. The only thing extraordinary about him was his capacity for sleep. His brother would push him out of bed and he'd bounce and he wouldn't wake up. I mean, I haven't read that long ago. Something like that, say. And he had this deep, deep urge and sense of like that he was going, that the body died, that he would die. And he asked the question, who dies? And he kind of lay down and just went with that question. In one night he was enlightened. I probably almost got rigor mortis. The focus of his mind on that question must have been, I mean, it was extraordinary. He could just, who dies? So he just would go to the whole sense of self until he was enlightened. And then his insight or his life was consistent with that. And he lived an impeccable life of wisdom and simplicity. So that you don't get that in Theravada, that kind of, because the Theravada tends to say that's an unskillful question, who am I? But the thing about the Korean and the Chinese and the Advaitas, they're not expecting you to find an answer intellectually. Right? So that's, there's sometimes like a debate in Theravada around that. But if you're not looking for it, you're just using it to bring the mind to clarity. Who's sitting? And you can, so it's the mind looking at the mind. Awareness looking at awareness. And that's very powerful. And I always like to tell the joke where as soon as I read that, I tried it. I just fell asleep. Didn't work for me. So inquiry can be quite powerful if it's not conjoined with a desire for an answer. If you're looking in order to get some kind of intellectual answer, you'll always be stuck in the limitations of thought. Okay. Can someone check the kitchen? Can you check the kitchen, please? Yes, someone? Kitchen. Kitchen, yeah. When I told my dad we're removing consciousness to emptiness of thought, he said it's impossible. He was very, very convinced that thinking was where it was at.